Welcome to Common Ground Berlin, where we delve into important issues that matter to you in the German capital and beyond. I'm your host, Soraya Sarhadi Nelson. Today we're going to talk about the long-awaited reform of the German citizenship law, which, as it turns out, we'll have to wait on for a few months longer. But when it finally does take effect, the new law will, among other things, reduce the number of years foreigners living in Germany have to wait to apply for citizenship, make more children born in Germany to foreign parents eligible for citizenship, and allow all citizens, not just EU or special cases, to be German and hold on to their other citizenships. Our intern Eden Brockman spoke to American Ayanna Heyman in Düsseldorf about her plans under the new law.
So obviously citizenship comes with full voting rights, which I'm really excited about. And then also just more freedom to change or choose my work. Because right now with my residence permit being connected to my full-time job, I can't really switch jobs so easily. So those I think are the two biggest major plus points. Also aside from the fact of like being kind of a full member of the society that I've been living in for, roughly a little bit over 4 years now. Which I know is not a lot of time compared to other people, but for me, like, I feel like I have put in a lot of effort to maybe become German in a sense. And so it would be nice to get that symbolic recognition along with a lot of the more concrete benefits.
Before our experts tell us how this law will transform Germany, let's talk about what's guile or not so guile. What's guile with this new law is that many millions of us who live here and work and pay taxes here finally have the choice to become citizens and have a say about how we are governed, and at the same time, not be forced to give up our original citizenship, which we might want to keep for personal or professional reasons. What's not so guile is that it's taking far too long to get the reforms enacted. In Berlin alone, there are already tens of thousands of applications piling up that aren't being processed because the measure has yet to be signed into law, let alone take effect. So let's hear from our guest today about how the new law will work for those seeking German citizenship and how it will change Germany. First is Jan Schneider, who is Deputy Managing Director of the Expert Council on Integration and Migration. He also heads the Independent Group's research unit. Welcome, Jan.
Good morning.
How does the new Einbürgerung law work?
Well, it actually pretty much works the same as the old law worked, just with some people say minor, other people say dramatic changes. So basically, the period you have to wait until you can make an application for naturalization is reduced from regularly 8 years down to 5 years, and for some expedited cases down to 3 years. So in an ideal case, people who come to Germany, who work here, who fulfill all the prerequisites can apply for naturalization after 3 years. That's a great new thing in the law.
So is there a streamlined process, though? In other words, does this law make it easier for people to actually get citizenship?
I wouldn't say that it makes it easier. It takes down one major hurdle for a lot of people, particularly for people from third countries, and that is keeping up your former or your old citizenship when applying for the German citizenship for naturalization, because that used to be a condition as a general rule that for becoming German, you'd have to give up your former citizenship. And that was not only for reasons of identification, but also for practical reasons of costs and hurdles, a big problem for a lot of citizens to do that. And this requirement has been dropped. So we allow for dual citizenship or even multiple citizenship. And that really makes the process easier. With the bureaucratic procedure as itself, I wouldn't say that there's so much change.
So when you're talking about the dual citizenships, I mean, the EU citizens were able to do or to keep their citizenship before, as well as certain countries that don't allow you to give up your citizenship. For example, Iran or Afghanistan come to mind. So that all goes away. This at this point, an American or anybody who's outside of the EU could keep their citizenship.
Absolutely. And as you're referring to Americans, they were able to do that before, but with, you know, some difficulties, because the American authorities, they allow people to get rid of their citizenship, but it is associated with a lot of costs, with a lot of hurdle. And up until now, there was a regulation below the law, so to say, circulars saying that Americans would also be able to keep their former citizenship while becoming Germans. But a lot of people just didn't know that and went through all that bureaucratic and also costly process. So for Americans, as well as for all other third country nationals, it is now obsolete to get rid of their old nationality.
This law took a long time to pass. And so my question is, do you think that the version they came up with in the end, because this is a compromise version, that this goes far enough or does it need to go further?
Well, it depends from which perspective you look at it. I think it goes pretty far and it takes down major hurdles that have been responsible for quite low naturalization rates over the past years and even decades. You'd never expect that anyone who qualifies for naturalization also takes that step because, as I mentioned earlier, that's also a matter of how you associate with the country, how you feel, a matter of identity. But it takes down major hurdles. And I think by reducing the waiting time until you can apply, Germany has adapted to the practice and the law in many other Western, so to speak, states and European states, such as Canada, the United States, and so forth. And also by allowing dual or multiple citizenship. So Germany has come quite a long way from a more ethnocentric citizenship law before the year 2000 to a now, and that's also what the government claims, modern democratic republican law that sort of keeps up with other countries in the world.
How has the application process been going across Germany since the law was passed by both chambers of parliament? Are there long waiting times in every state, or is that just Berlin?
Well, at this point in time, in March, authorities are still preparing for the law to come into force. It has passed both chambers of parliament, the Bundestag and the Bundesrat, but it's now waiting to be signed by the federal president and then proclaimed in the Law Gazette. So we don't know exactly when this is going to happen. It might be next week. It might be in a month's time. And from then on, it takes another 3 months until the law really comes into force and until the authorities, and that's about 400 something authorities in the whole republic, have to work and abide by this new law. So we're still in a sort of, I wouldn't say in a limbo situation, but in a situation where both applicants and authorities are awaiting those reforms. And those authorities, I've been mentioning that it's several hundred of them due to federalism and due to the fact that those authorities are at the municipal level. They are all preparing according to their federal state regulations. And some of the federal states have come up with first sort of circulars or ideas how this law is supposed to be implemented, but some have not. So we're in that waiting period where everybody is preparing, and that is causing some trouble, and I'd also say some stomach ache to some of the authorities, not only due to the fact that there is a long waiting line of people applying.
Do we have an idea of how many people have applied since the February 2nd passage by the Bundesrat?
No, we don't have exact figures here, but we know, for instance, that in Berlin, which is a special case, largest city, but also a city in which the naturalization procedure has just been streamlined to be focused and to be done in one single authority, not in the 12
Bezirke or the neighborhoods.
Exactly,
yeah.
Not in the Bezirke, but in one central space. And we know that in Berlin, there's probably about 50,000 applications waiting, files waiting, most of them now digitized, but waiting to be processed according to the new law. And it's sort of paradoxical because Berlin changed from that system where the applications were processed in the 12 Bezirke to that one centralized system with an initiative to really be up to date and digitalize and speed up the processes. So they can wait for the law to come into force because they have made up appointments with their clients, whereas in most other parts of the Republic, I mean, they want the law to start as late as possible.
So they have time to get up to speed.
Time to adapt and time to get rid of the old applications that they still have. And in some municipalities and some federal states, the backlog is huge and the waiting time is up to, I mean, 1 year is sort of a regular thing across the Republic. And in some areas, it's 2 years waiting time, which is unacceptable from the individual's point of view who wants to become German, who wants to open up, who wants to show they integrate and they simply sitting there and waiting for the authorities to act.
Well, the biggest complaint I hear here in Berlin is the fact that you can't even get an appointment anymore. I mean, if you try to get an appointment online, it used to be you had to wait a few months to get an appointment. Now you can't even book one. Does this have to do with this sort of waiting period or limbo period we're in right now?
Yes, that's the strategy of the new administration in Berlin, which has started with the idea that they have to really focus their capacities to getting down this backlog of 50,000 and to get people to their rights. People who have, I mean, some of them have made their applications 3 years ago in the Bezirk of Pankow and they're still waiting. So all these files have been transferred from the 12th Berlin Bezirke to that central authority. And the major part of the strategy is that getting all hands on applications and not, put it in quotation mark, wasting time with 1 hour appointments with each client to go through the things. The theory is, and the practice is, to put it all in a digital counseling and a so-called one-stop shop where you do a sort of a digital test if you qualify. There's a list of all the documents you have to hand in. And of course, to some degree, you have to be sort of capable and have the literacy to fulfill all these requirements that are listed and they're on the website. But Berlin, do not take any time for, you know, personal counseling. Just put all the focus on trying to reduce the backlog. And I think that's to some, that has some negative consequence for people who are not really in the digital age, who maybe require somebody to go through with them through the individual requirements and see if the documents are okay. So there's a risk that we have some applications that don't have the level of quality to qualify for the naturalization or for an easy, speedy naturalization, and they have to be given back to the people, and that takes again time.
So if, let's say, you don't put all the proper documents in because you're having trouble with the online or there's some other glitch, I mean, how do you sort of get rid of this back and forth in order to be able to get through the process a little bit more effectively?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. We're still sort of looking into it because we have a research project right now looking at the practices of the authorities in different parts of the Republic. So there is not really a law how the authorities are supposed to act in that case. You'd expect from an open authority which is sort of serving their citizens or their people to help them go through the application and not, you know, send it back and decline the application and make them hand everything in all over again, but maybe go through them and give them a call and say, well, we have one problem here with one document, you'd have to add something or to have to renew it. And we don't really know how the practice is. I would suppose that, as we said, in Berlin, there's not much time and there's not much individual man or woman power to work on cases. We'd have more of an automatic return or reply saying that the documents are not complete and you'd have to add a certain document. So all will be in writing. They wouldn't right away reject the whole application.
The head of Berlin's Department for Nationality Affairs boasted last month that they will naturalize at least 20,000 people in Berlin every year. Last year, they only did 8,000 people, but as you mentioned, there are some 50,000 applications potentially waiting already. So is it working? I mean, you know, what are they going to be able to meet? I mean, is 20,000 even enough considering their more than twice that many applications waiting?
I would say if the new administration achieves 20,000 per year, that would be a great success. I would suppose they will have a hard time achieving the 20,000 in the year 2024 because we're only starting sometime in June or July. So the authority already lost a few months, so to say, where they could have worked according to the new regulations with a new system of digitization and online counseling. They're eagerly waiting for the law to become practice. Is it enough? Well, I mean, if you do 20,000 a year and if the application rates are not skyrocketing again, it'll be enough to maybe get the backlog down after 3-4 years. But still, there will be people who filed the application maybe a year or two ago in some of the Bezirke would have to wait until 25 or maybe in individual cases until 26. But the approach in most authorities is to really work off the applications and files one after the other according to the date they came in, and that would also be the natural way to do it, right? However, in individual cases, of course, people need a speedier process because, let's say, they want to travel to a particular country or they want to take up a particular job. For instance, if you want to become a civil servant in Germany, you would have an interest in having the German citizenship because otherwise it's not possible. So these people have to be put on the top of the pile, right? And sometimes this only works with support of lawyers who then write or even sue the authority for not being active. And it's a pity, it's a pain in the ass for Berlin and for all the authorities who are willing to be more speedy, but who just have also problems in recruiting enough people who work as caseworkers, as officers. It's important also to look at the authorities' side a little bit. How can they deal with that backlog?
Are some nationalities going to have a harder time, you think, getting dual citizenship than others? I mean, there's always been a little bit of a disconnect, even though it's supposed to be an equal law. It isn't. I mean, you know, if you're coming from a certain part of the world, you know, parts like maybe Africa or something, it might be a little bit harder to go through that immigration process than if you're American or if you're coming from a country that perhaps Germany is more interested in having more citizens of. So this law is supposed to be egalitarian. And do you think it's going to eliminate that discrimination, or do you think there's still going to be that sort of approach?
Well, I mean, the law has been non-discriminatory even before. EU citizens were privileged in the sense that they have been able to keep their old citizenship even before, but that had other reasons. That was reasons for EU law and the preferential treatment. So even the old law was non-discriminatory, and the new one will be as well. However, it's human beings who apply the law, and you will, of course, not eliminate all sorts of racialized thinking, of approaches of how would people on a long term integrate. It's a hard task to really look at applications in a very neutral way. It's interesting, it just comes to my mind. I mean, what you could think about is really to eliminate all sorts of potential discriminatory practices in authorities. You could think about giving the fact that it will most of the time be digitized, to just hand in the applications without a direct contact between, let's say, official caseworker and the candidate for naturalization. So you wouldn't see, let's say, the color of the skin or maybe even the former nationality. So, but that's not possible because, of course, to be naturalized, you need to confirm the identity and the old nationality. So you cannot come up with a blind system, so to speak. But maybe it could be a chance that the fact that there's no direct interaction in a lot of cases between applicant and authorities, it might reduce the chance of discrimination a little bit.
What advice would you give applicants to prepare for the application process so that it goes smoother while we're waiting here for this law to formally take effect?
Yeah, during that waiting time, people can get their documents ready, and there's lists on the internet what they have to provide. Most important and maybe timely, if you haven't done so yet, is taking a language test and provide a certificate of B1 for the naturalization. That's B1 according to the Common European Framework for Languages, and that can be taken at many places, for instance at the Volkshochschule. If you want to go for the speedy process, it's level C1, which is quite a good command over the German language. And of course, have the passport ready, have a document that you don't have criminal suits against you, and so forth. So if you have that ready, pass the naturalization test, which is not too difficult of a task, 30-something questions on policy, history.
I think you can do that ahead of time even.
Yeah, you can do that ahead of time. And if you fail the first time, you can repeat that test. And it's not so difficult to get an appointment for that. So that's not waiting times of months and years. But you should maybe go ahead to look out for such a test opportunity, both for language and the naturalization test right now, to be prepared in summer to hand in all the documents.
Jan, you mentioned a research project. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, it's our organization. It's the research unit of the Expert Council on Integration and Migration. And we're working on a huge project now. We just started a 3-year project on looking how the naturalization goes sort of during the reform is implemented. And we have a particular focus on people who come for humanitarian reasons. The great example of that cohort, so to speak, was the Syrians who came in 2014, 15, 16, and who are now sort of at the age of qualifying for naturalization, who apply in high numbers. And we want to look at different cohorts of refugees and people who come for humanitarian status, and how is their interaction with authorities, including, for instance, do they feel equal equal treatment there? Is there glimpses of discrimination and so forth? How do the authorities react to the caseload and the pressure? How do they digitize? How do they come to the age of artificial intelligence and digitization to speed up processes in an era where we have really a lack of qualified personnel also in public administration? So that's sort of part of the project. And we also have a comparative perspective and look at the German cases in our nice big federal state with all the different regulations in the 16 states, but also try to compare it to one or two countries outside of Germany, maybe one in Europe and one out of Europe. We are not so sure yet.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I would say one of the big challenges is really to make Germany a country of welcoming, what we used to say a few years ago, and to make that package become true. And that package includes, on the one hand, the easing and the liberalization of immigration law, and on the other hand, the reform we've been talking about, the easing and the liberalization of naturalization law. If Germany is able to really sell the country as a immigration country who welcomes, who embraces people with that whole package of making it easy to come, making it easy to integrate, getting the opportunities to take the tests, that would be a great step, but it's still a long way to go given the challenges we have right now and which will undoubtedly be there in the next couple of years to come.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Jan.
Thank you.
Our next guest is Gökçe Yurdakul. She is the Georg Simmel Professor of Diversity and Social Conflict at Humboldt University in Berlin and also directs the Berlin Institute of Migration and Integration Research. Senior producer Dina El-Sayed interviewed her via Zoom.
Why has Germany been so reluctant to change its citizenship laws, especially when it comes to dual citizenship?
Yes, thank you for the question. This is a very important question, Dina. One can find the reasons in Germany's history. First of all, Germany has been a late nation. It developed its national identity quite later than other European countries. There were also different kind of minorities within Germany, partly forming the basis of how the federal structure has been developed. This is one of the reasons that the national identity of Germany has been developed very late. Another one is, of course, the geographic region of Germany, that it was always, as a nation, geographically, it was always under threat from different kind of countries around it. For that reason, Germany's identity, national identity, has been quite fragile at the end. After the Second World War, as we know, a lot of immigrants came to Germany in order to work, to bring the country to a better shape, especially economically. We're calling this an economic miracle because a lot of guest workers actually played a role in Germany's development, economic development. And German political authorities always said they are going to go back because they are guest workers. However, that was not the case. I mean, many of these people actually wanted to stay for mainly for two reasons. The first reason is they had children and they put down their roots in the country that they immigrated in. And another reason is the sending country has been politically volatile, or the economic conditions in the sending countries were not as good. So a lot of people who immigrated to Germany as guest workers, they decided they actually want to stay. This was also good for the people who hired them, the companies, because over time, these people actually gained skills to work in these companies where they were actually guest workers. So actually, that was a win-win situation. On the one hand, the guest workers wanted to stay, and on the other hand, the companies did not want them to go. So in 1947, Germany decided that they are going to have a family reunification, and they wanted actually the guest workers to bring their children. But the family reunification was also an instrument to close down Germany's borders to new immigrations and to have a sort of an assimilation policy to make sure, okay, now we're closing down the borders, we're going to make Germans out of these guest workers, and that's it. But of course, it didn't work out that way. These people still maintain their ties with the sending country, especially Turkey. And right now, there are about 4 million Turkish people living in Germany without citizenship. Dual citizenship has not been an option for them. A lot of people, because of their emotional ties to their countries, they actually wanted to keep their citizenship. For that reason, basically, Germany is being reluctant because they thought that these people are going to go back. because their fragile national identity, which is based on German ethnicity, German national identity, and also these immigrants, their own perspective. We're not going to stay here longer, or if we stay here longer, we still want to maintain our emotional ties to our country. So it's both ways that dual citizenship did not come about until now. But Germany is actually setting a really good example at the moment to introduce a huge reform for transforming its citizenship.
And in what way is this citizenship reform, is this new law, better than the old law?
So as you mentioned, Dina, in your first question, the first one is probably that dual citizenship is now available. This is really great for Germany that the dual citizenship is available. But of course, many of these immigrants over time started having ties to other countries than their country of origin. So they can also have multiple citizenship, let's say, American and German and Japanese and German and things like that. Of course, because the Turkish immigrant community is the biggest one, that's why we're always talking about the Turkish immigrant community. But it also means a lot for other people who have ties in other countries. Sometimes these are not their countries of origin. So dual citizenship is something that we've been waiting for a very long time, and now it's going to be possible. Another one is the reduced residence requirement. So previously it was 8 years of residence requirement. So now it's 5 years. And for special skills, it's reduced actually to 3 years. Let's say if you're a nurse, if you are in the IT sector, these are the kind of the areas that Germany has labor shortage. So that's also great that in, let's say, in 3 years, if you have a job that's required in the German labor market, it will make it, Germany will make it easier for them to have citizenship. What I really like, actually, and that's actually honoring the guest workers generation, that normally for a person who's applying for German citizenship, they have to show B1, which is a lower intermediate German proficiency. Only conversational skills are sufficient. So this is really great because it shows that Germany is honoring this generation who worked so hard in order to bring an economic miracle after the Second World War to Germany. So these are the three important ones, in my view, that we should know. Also, children who are born in Germany to non-German parents are automatically granted German citizenship. Or if one parent has been legally living in Germany for more than 5 years with unlimited residency status. So this is also very important, and which shows a major transformation in Germany's citizenship reform from being what we call jus sanguinis citizenship, which is ancestral citizenship, to jus soli citizenship, which is birthplace-based citizenship, which actually prioritize an immigrant's contribution, an immigrant's birthplace as their major determinant of having a citizenship in that country, rather than the blood-based citizenship, the ancestral-based citizenship, which shows because of your parents, you're inheriting the citizenship from your parents, which is, in my view, an archaic form of having citizenship. So reforming German citizenship law, in my view, has been really great, and hopefully reflect the diversity in Germany's actual population.
Despite this new law, do you think that people from some countries will have an easier time getting German citizenship than people from other countries?
Great question. It's difficult to know at the moment. There's actually an interesting new study called The Power of the Passport. And there you can see how one country's passport, how powerful they are. And the power is measured according to how many countries you can enter without a visa. And Germany has one of the most powerful passports in the world. But of course, when you go down the list, that's pretty sad to see countries that are war-ridden, for example, like Afghanistan or Yemen. Those passports are, of course, not powerful passports. So I am wondering, people who immigrate to Germany having these kind of passports from Yemen, from Afghanistan, How German government, German political authorities are going to treat these kind of countries with not so powerful passports. So in that case, there may be inequalities in terms of who is going to be accepted and who's going to be given priority. But Germany is a very diverse society, actually. So I hope the citizenship reform is going to serve to maintain and expand this diversity, including from people, from individuals who want to immigrate to Germany or who want to stay in Germany, also from these countries who are suffering from long-term war.
We have talked a little bit about what changes we will see happen, but do you think there are other changes needed to Germany's citizenship law?
My biggest fear that it's going to stay in the legal level. And there is already some research on this, that the legal changes do not necessarily reflect on shaping people's belonging in a country. So having a legal change in citizenship law and making it more inclusive is something, but citizenship is not only a legal status, it's also a form of belonging that people feel at home in the country that they immigrate. And there is some research, previous research actually, that shows that it doesn't really trickle down to belonging. So I'm really hoping, and this is probably, some may call this wishful thinking, but I'm really hoping that the legal change will also help immigrants to feel at home in Germany, to contribute to this beautiful society that's actually so vibrant and so diverse. But because of some impediments, like this archaic citizenship law that we had before, or the right-wing extremism, like the political parties that we are experiencing right now, who are pursuing right-wing extremist politics. We are also seeing physical racist attacks or terrorist acts like happened. We just commemorated it last month, like happened in Hanau, also commemorating other racist attacks happened previously in Germany. For that reason, there are also a lot of problems in Germany. So perhaps I'm hoping that this government's efforts to pass these legal changes is not only to alleviate the situation in the labor market or the labor shortage, because I hate to say that citizenship is actually instrumentalized in order to fulfill the lack of labor in Germany. People should not be reduced to their labor power. Instead, I would much prefer if this would be a sign to make people belong to Germany and proudly say that they are Germans and they are children of immigrants, and hopefully, you know, show a sign to right-wing political parties or right-wing extremists that Germany is diverse and it's a beautiful country when it is diverse. For that reason, this is, I think, one thing that I am missing, that it's hopefully not only a legal reform, but it's actually a sign for people to make feel belong to Germany.
Are German institutions ready to handle this reform? And is the German population or is the German society itself ready?
So, of course, the question is, who is German society? German society is us. So we have to be ready to, you know, embrace the diversity. Of course, in every country, Germany's institutions has always been also, especially political institutions, has always been slow in expanding themselves to this diverse body. For example, if you go to the immigration office, it's very hard to find somebody who speaks another language other than German. And this makes lives of some people very difficult because not everyone in this world speaks German, you know. But Germany also did not provide some of the resources in order to reach to the people who are non-German speakers but who still want to live in Germany. So this is one thing, but I'm extremely hopeful about the civil society in Germany. So the civil society is dealing with multidimensional issues from climate change to reproductive rights and immigrant rights and so on. It's very multidimensional and it's very intersectional at the same time. We are seeing people from, let's say, queer immigrants from Latin America to Schwarze Deutsche, like Black Germans who grew up during the GDR times, gathering around anti-racist organizations, civil society organizations. So I really trust the diversity and the political engagement of German society to overcome the slowness of German government institutions, as I said, you know, politics or also immigration office and stuff like that, to criticize this and to challenge it and ask for a better accommodation of diversity in the German society. So my hope lies in the very strong civil society in Germany.
My last question to you, Gutsche, is what demographic changes do we expect to see in Germany as a result of the citizenship reforms in the foreseeable future?
Okay, so as we know, the fertility rate in Germany is really not in the replacement level. It's below the replacement level. This is really dangerous for our country. And as we know, there are also multiple ways for people to engage in the labor market, for example, social media or platform work. This means that other essential work that needs to be done and not so well paid, people are running away, understandably, from these kind of jobs. When we go to the hospitals, for example, we see that the nurses and doctors are working under very difficult conditions and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that through citizenship reform, Germany will be able to attract more immigrants who want to stay in Germany long term in order to engage in the society in meaningful ways, including, you know, these difficult jobs, which are like nurses and doctors or IT sector. But one of the problems is how can we keep these people here? Because they are really, really, really important for Germany. And a lot of people who come to Germany, we have to make them stay. So one thing that German citizenship law hopefully signal, other than the legal changes, is that we want you to stay here, not only for paying taxes or taking care of our elderly, but to, you know, contribute to this society in a meaningful way and making it like more diverse and make it more livable. So for that reason, we have to, as Germans, we have to also push for a welcome culture, engage with our neighbors, engage with civil society, and make Germany strong, a strong network of people who are embracing this diversity. So I'm hoping that the German citizenship law will not only stay as a legal change, but also strengthen the diversity in the German society.
Dr. Gutsche Yurdakul, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Dina.
And thank you for listening. I'm your host, Soraya Sarhadi Nelson, and we'll keep you posted on further developments after the citizenship law takes effect. Our senior producer is Dina El Sayed. Our social media editor is Noor Trabelsi, and our intern is Eden Brockman. Our podcast is funded by a grant administered by the German Ministry for Economic Affairs and Climate Action, and our partners are Goethe Institute, the Checkpoint Charlie Foundation, and the German Marshall Fund of the United States. All Common Ground Berlin episodes are available wherever you get your podcasts, and you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X at CG Berlin Podcast.